When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on This Morning with David Fowler, the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. David, good morning. Welcome back.
Morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I want to touch base on a couple of things this morning. Of course, you're our Brexit expert, and one of the things that is making a lot of news this week in the wake of the UN Climate Summit is that the organization that was behind pushing for Brexit is focusing now on climate change in the UK. Talk to us a little bit about why this is important.
Well, I think if people cast their mind back to the whole kind of basis around Brexit originally, one of the ideas that was pushed forward by the pro-Leave group was that Britain would be able to, you know, rule their own roost, plot their own course in the world, and not be kind of connected or tied by the EU approach to anything. And the fear that a lot of countries had within the European Union about that was that we would see kind of a race to the bottom with the UK adopting much looser environmental standards, for example, than would be applicable in the European Union, and therefore become kind of a haven for some of the less clean industries that exist in the world that might be looking for a European outpost. And it's important to remember that the air over Britain is also the air over the European Union as well. You know, air doesn't recognize borders. So this was a pretty valid concern. I think the concern that people are having now is that the push to move towards the same kind of approaches, frankly, that we heard with Brexit, so that rather than taking action on, you know, specific actions on climate change, particularly with respect to fossil fuel usage, you know, there's a group of people now kind of saying that, you know, we don't have to do anything. Technology will solve this. And so this kind of vaporware technology, so technology that doesn't exist as yet, will come, and this will solve all the problems. And there shouldn't be carbon taxes. There shouldn't be restrictions on doing any kind of activity. And this, I think, is kind of the this kind of approach to, you know, we don't really have to do anything active. You know, something will happen and everything will be fine. I think that's a concern. Because if in the European Union, there is generally quite a concern about global warming. And part of it is, you know, environmental, and part of it, I think, is just the way European society looks at issues. But also part of it is the fact that the European Union is short on fossil fuel energy. So they are net importers of fossil fuel energy. And for them, moving away from what are, you know, sometimes very unreliable fossil fuel sources. Like, for example, we saw this week that the German government has put a hold on Nord Stream 2, which is the gas pipeline from Russia to Germany, because of the issues that are going on between Belarus, Russia, and the EU border of Poland. You know, people, I think a lot of people within the European Union, a lot of governments within the European Union would like to have much more control over their energy sources. And for them, you know, wind is a really big one because, you know, a lot of the European Union is surrounded by either the Atlantic or the North Sea, which are, you know, good sources for wind, or other sources where they can kind of control the supply themselves. So it's a kind of a, you know, the European Union does look at, you know, climate change as being important, but they have a vested interest in looking at a move away from carbon. The UK may be using the, you know, their ability to legislate for themselves as a way to find a niche for some of the industries that really nobody wants in Western Europe.
You know, and the part of this story is that there's been talk of having another referendum on the government's plans. So, you know, that would be just what, kicking the can further down the road, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, who knows what the outcome of that would be. You know, nobody thought that Brexit would go through, and it did, although it was a squeaker. You know, you could have a similar situation with the agreements that were made at COP26. So, which would be a real kind of slap in the face to the British government in one respect, because they're the people that hosted this conference, and suddenly, you know, if it was a referendum, they would be the people pulling out from the deal that they negotiated.
Yeah, and then the other thing is the timeline on all of this. We know how long Brexit has been taking so far. I mean, we're talking years, and we only have 10 or 15 or 20 years to deal with climate change before it's too late.
Well, that's what they say. And certainly there is a, you know, certainly a large vest, like the UK is a big producer of coal. You know, as in the United States, the question is going to be, if we're not producing coal, if we're not producing natural gas, we're not producing oil, like extracting crude oil, what are all those people who are involved in those industries going to do? And in the UK, it's exactly the same. There would be a massive, to close down the coal pits, even though they're much more reduced than they used to be. You know, this would cause a major dislocation of labor, generating, you know, much higher unemployment in places that are geographically unadvantaged. So, you know, there is two sides to the argument, certainly. But I also believe that, you know, the fact that climate is changing, and changing, you know, for the worse, like we see massive storms all over the place, and, you know, droughts, and, you know, parts of Africa haven't had rain for 4.5 years. You know, it's, you know, we have to find a way, you know, that kind of, there has to be some movement, I believe, in order to try to ameliorate both the concerns of people who, you know, could lose their jobs, but also the concerns of people who may lose their lives.
Is there any sign that the tensions between the European Union and the UK are lessening any, or are they getting worse as we continue talking about Brexit? And is there something coming up later this week that we should be aware of?
Well, there's, you know, quite a bit going on. That tension seems to be just ever present. And, you know, to an extent, I think we've seen in the last couple of weeks the European Union coming out and saying that really kind of they've kind of lost all patience and pretty much all confidence in the UK as a negotiating partner. So, you know, we've had the issue with fishing. So the UK and France in particular have had an issue with French boats being licensed to fish in the English Channel, or La Manche, as they call it in French. You know, boats have to prove that they've been fishing there prior to 2016. You know, for a lot of the larger, big kind of factory trawlers, that's not an issue because they have very extensive records. But a lot of fishing in pretty that part of the world is done in family boats, which would be small, you know, passed down from father to son. And these would be people who would be fishing in these areas for, you know, 100, 200 years. They don't have those kind of records. And the UK maintains that we are strictly applying the law, which kind of rings a little hollow to the European Union when, you know, the UK is quite happy to unilaterally just dump laws when it suits them. So I think that's an issue. You've also had a problem with migrants. As your listeners may or may not know, there's some very large migrant camps in Calais. A lot of these migrants would like to cross the channel and go to the UK. The UK doesn't want them to come. They're expecting the French to stop them from going. And the French, you know, the French are basically kind of slow peddling that one. In fact, there were reports that the mayor of Calais was down at one of the camps and people were saying, we want to go to the UK. And he said, you know, well, it's just over there. So this is a problem. You know, the Home Secretary, who is in charge of immigration in the UK, maintained that, you know, we're going to have these very strong borders and no one's going to get in unless we let them. And now there are thousands of people going across every day. So it makes the government look bad in an area which was one of their big selling points of Brexit, that they could control their borders. So, you know, I think that's an issue. We have problems with Northern Ireland still. And we have, you know, the UK looking to trigger Article 16, which is kind of the start of the legal process to say that, you know, one side or another is basically disobeying the agreement. The European Union has said that if the UK triggers Article 16 about Northern Ireland, then that's going to be basically the end of the TCA, the Trade Cooperation Agreement, which means that there will be no more preferential access for UK goods into the European Union, and likewise European Union goods into the UK. as we've said before, you know, half of British exports go to the EU, only a quarter of EU exports go to the UK. So this would be pretty, it would be bad for both sides, but probably worse for the UK. And, you know, finally, this week, we have, at the end of the week, we have one of the, you know, 10,000 meetings between the EU and the UK, Lord Frost and Mr. Stankovic, concerning, you know, what they can do to make some changes or modifications to the Northern Ireland Protocol to make it a little more easy for people to do business. You know, the thing about it is that, you know, just came out today on Irish, the Irish Social Statistics Office came out and showed that trade between Northern Ireland and the Republic has grown 60% since the start of Brexit. So if trade is an issue for Northern Ireland, it's certainly not on the export side. It's so it's, again, people are feeling that the government, the British government, may be looking, you know, for a problem to could distract from, you know, petrol queues, shortages in the shops, and the, you know, problems that the Conservative government have with recently with this kind of sleaze campaign where some of their MPs are double dipping on jobs and various things like this. And they kind of use Northern Ireland and Brexit as a kind of a, you know, okay, don't look here anymore. Go over and look at this nice shiny thing. And the EU is being nasty to us again. So, the, you know, the story continues, right?
You mentioned the situation with the migrants where immigration is concerned, but you also have some issues developing with just regular tourism. I was interested to see one of these stories about a British tourist who was denied entry into Spain because she didn't have one of the post-Brexit stamps on her passport. Is this an isolated incident or other tourists running into the same problem?
I think if they haven't, they will. And the issue is that as part of the Brexit negotiations, the EU offered a reciprocal kind of travel agreement between the EU and the UK. The British said, no, we want to control our borders. We want to end the idea of free travel. So UK subjects, if they go into the European Union, will be treated like any other visitor. And visitors, just like in this country, you know, you can, you know, if you're a visitor to the U.S., if you're a visitor to the European Union, normally you could have a kind of a 90-day stay, and then you need to leave. And, you know, when you leave, you need to get some proof that you left, which is normally a stamp in your passport. So within Schengen, which is 26 countries in Europe, you know, you can, if you, once you enter one, you can travel freely amongst the others. But after 90 days, you have to leave. This is, you know, the UK does this to European Union visitors. So it's really just a level of equivalency. I think part of the issue is that a lot of UK travelers, particularly to countries like Spain, you know, Spain is kind of like Florida for the European Union. A lot of retired people from the European Union will move to Spain because of the weather. They've lived there since, you know, freely since the kind of early 80s. And after 30 years, they've been kind of institutionalized to think we can just go anytime we want. That's not the case anymore.
David, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, certainly you can call me on the desk, and the number there is 866-524-8836. Or you can contact me by email on david.fowler@associatedbank.com.
All right, David. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much, Steve.